Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 through 21. The Reverend Dr. John Ferguson is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Revelation to St. John in the 22nd chapter. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace and mercy to you in Christ Jesus. Well, as far as I know, you guys have been walking through Revelation, and we are at the end of it. If it's been anything like it is when I teach this, it feels like a marathon by the end. It's just everyone's real excited at the beginning, and by the end it feels like kind of a slog because it's just this relentless picture of the persecution of the church, of terrible, terrible things happening as we look at different ways in which, or different perspectives on which the end comes. And it can be kind of discouraging in some ways. On one hand, we are called to present the gospel, to bring acts of love and charity to the world. And here it also presents to us that that very world we're trying to bring this to is actively against that very message, against those acts of love, against the source from which those things come. And so we have this strange tension between this love that we are called to set forth in the world and the absolute rejection of it by that world. And of course, coming sort of out of this pandemic, right, we have understanding of disasters around us, nationally, internationally. We have persecutions happening all over the world. We have the pandemic itself. And a lot of our hard work in the last couple of years feels like it came to nothing or had huge setbacks. It can be really discouraging. We look back at the church in general. Where are all the initiatives of our synod in generations past? We have to keep making new initiatives, to keep reasserting ourselves in new ways. Declining membership in a lot of our congregations and across Christendom, especially in the West. Closing schools at all levels. It's hard to find persons to be the leaders, the professional church workers for the next generation. And today sounds like a good day for the last day, right? Often in the morning when I wake up, that's exactly what I say. I pray the daily prayer, I pray through the catechism, and then I say, and Lord, you know, today is a great day for the last day. We face a lot of difficulties and a lot of challenges, pastors, church workers, congregations, synod. We find a lot of heartache, a lot of tragedy, a lot of challenge. By human might, by human efforts, human wisdom and discernment, we just want to go home. We want to do what Paul says. To go with Christ is to be far better, right? And so we long for that home. The pastoral work, constantly dealing with sinning persons, right? Institutions that are ostensibly sacred but full of friction and factions. Mission efforts that to our eyes produce nothing but seeming loss and heartache. And when we try to rely on ourselves in the midst of this, we do end up burning out. It's exactly where we are. And for those times, we need to repent, even in the midst of our heartache, in the midst of the tragedy, if we're losing sight of what's really going on. Because we don't really rely on ourselves, do we? And we're not supposed to. This book of Revelation, especially here, right at the end, Jesus reminds us in the first verse what all that was about, all the imagery of the destruction of the world, and that moment right at the end, finally, that beatific vision, that our hope is exactly from this book for times like this, for our moments of disillusionment, for discouragement, our times of despair. In verse 16, he says it's for the churches, this vision, specifically for the churches, for times like this. And in verse 17, we note this, that he says, the Spirit and the bride say come. Not that the Spirit says come and the bride says come, that the Spirit and the bride say come together, because they are together, because the bride is inextricably linked to the Spirit. And we cannot say but what the Spirit tells us to say as the people of God. And so as the Spirit comes and reignites our faith, as he continues to keep us in the faith in the midst of our difficulties and challenges that we have, we turn to God and we call on him to come. But we also at the same time acknowledge that as his children, we have awakened in this day. And though to be with Christ is far better, we are here right now to do the work that he gives us to do. And in that gift given is from the Spirit. The Spirit who is with the bride, calling come. And in the next part of that verse, we get exactly why we're doing that. He says, and also then, he notes this, and let the one who hears say come. So the Spirit and the bride say come, and let the one who hears say come. And that reminds us of exactly why we do what we do. Because there are those outside who yet can hear and join in this calling, this one voice with the Spirit to come. People who have not yet darkened our doors, who have not had the waters of baptism, who have not partaken of our Lord, but for whom God has died, for whom he has given his Son, the Father has given his Son, whereby he redeems his people, as he has redeemed you and me. The church is not full yet. That despite the pandemic, not too long ago, for example, a woman named Kristen was baptized in our church. Last week, an infant named Reese was baptized in our church. God is still waiting for them to be his people. God's not waiting for a time to come in some capricious way where he's just, oh, you know, when he finally has a bad day, he's going to call it quits. It's the last day. He's waiting for persons. He's waiting for Kristen. He's waiting for Reese, just like he waited for you, for me, for our children, that they can be his own too, that they can, as they thirst in their sin, and thirst recognizing death, can find quenching. They can have that gift of that water of life that he speaks of, that is without price for us, but cost our Savior everything. You know, the work is really never ours. It's always the Holy Spirit's, pointing humanity to Jesus' work. And it's the Spirit's work through you, through the efforts of us together as synod, congregations, church workers, members of our congregations, by which he acts in this day for those who he yet calls to join in that calling for Jesus to come, who is our descendant of David and yet Lord of David, who is really the bright morning star for the world for eternity. Today really is a great day for the last day, but it's a day that God has made, And so it's a day of work for his people, that we can fill each other with his love, with his care, bring to this fallen world the truth of repentance, forgiveness, so that some might yet join us in saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.